Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
And now, a few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
Senator Richard Blumenthal, it's so good to have you on the line with us this Thursday morning. How are you?
I'm well. Hope you and your listeners are too. Thanks for having me.
So we want to kick this off right now. My understanding is you are one of the senators introducing a bill to decrease numbers of people serving time in prison. So can you talk to us about the Reverse Mass Incarceration Act? Why are you pushing for this? Are we seeing overpopulated prisons across the country? What's going on?
We're seeing many too people, not dangerous people, but people responsible for small amounts of marijuana or other controlled substances in prison for lengthy periods of time, not so much in Connecticut as in other states, federal prisons where the costs are humongous and the damage to individuals is enduring. And so we need to be very strategic about who is in prison and for how long, not only reduce costs, but make sure that the really dangerous people are behind bars. That's the purpose of the law. And it's supported by both Republicans and Democrats who are concerned about justice and about being truly smart and strategic in incarceration policy. So dangerous people are kept behind bars, less so the people who commit nonviolent offenses involving small amounts of controlled substances, for example, possession, which in Connecticut is less commonly even prosecuted.
Are we seeing overpopulated prisons right now at this time?
We are seeing in other states and federal prisons more people behind bars than should be for offenses that are non-dangerous or non-violent. But there are still a lot of people out in the streets who should be behind bars. So the prison policy has to be more strategic to put away the people who are really dangerous and damaging to our society. But yes, in some states, prisons are vastly overcrowded, not so Connecticut, because we've taken that kind of smarter and strategic approach. So we're talking about federal policy, not the state of Connecticut.
Senator Blumenthal is here this morning for his weekly visit. Sir, you are teaming up with other officials for the Debris Act to help Connecticut homeowners. What would this do for people? And explain the act itself. What is the act?
As you know, just about exactly a year ago, in May of 2018, a supercell thunderstorm tornado series of really extreme weather events tore through Connecticut, really doing grave damage to parts of Hamden, New Fairfield, Oxford, various towns in Fairfield and New Haven counties. Those people have never been compensated for the debris, that is the tree limbs, stumps, bushes, parts of their homes that had to be removed and corrected. So many of them spent thousands of dollars. There is no provision in the law for assistance to private owners of homes when debris has to be removed in the wake of a natural disaster. We're talking only about natural disasters. And so this measure would amend the current law to enable those homeowners to be eligible, and they could be reimbursed. It would be retroactive.
And Senator Richard Blumenthal, we do have one more question for you. You've been very local in the past about cracking down on companies like Facebook. So what are your thoughts? I don't know if you heard about this on social media platforms, not screening fake accounts. Just yesterday, our top story was Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim. His Instagram account, there was an imposter who created basically a mimic account, was asking people for money. Should something be done for social media accounts, especially for, I would say, high-profile people such as yourself or Mayor Joe Ganim? How to screen people from being able to create these fake accounts, and basically they're duping people and pretending to be someone that they're not?
The goal is to protect, more important than the high-profile or celebrity people, just ordinary Americans who are victims of breaches of security, for example, when their private, confidential, medical, or financial information is lost or open to identity thieves. Number two, their privacy must be more protected. For example, the actions of these social media companies vacuuming or scooping up private information, then monetizing it through advertising. And there have to be stronger measures to protect that kind of privacy. I'm working on bipartisan legislation that would impose higher standards, enforceable potentially through the FTC and the courts. And third, there needs to be security for our country, because, as you know, the Russians attacked this country through Facebook and other social media by spreading in misinformation and social media falsehoods to suppress voter turnout and create distortions. So there are a variety of actions that have to be taken. The fake accounts are just one instance.
Senator Blumenthal, we thank you so much for taking a few minutes every Thursday like this. We've run out of time, but hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you then. Thank you.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
All right, we are here this morning with Luke Frey. Luke is from the Better Business Bureau. Luke, it's good to hear from you. How you doing?
Hi, good. How are you two doing this morning?
We're doing okay. We're coming up on Memorial Day. It'll be here before you know it. And you're very concerned about Memorial Day ads. Now, how can we tell the difference between a fraudulent ad and a legit one?
Sure. So it takes a couple skills to, you know, really be able to tell if an ad is good or not. However, I came up with a couple tips to kind of, you know, keep an eye out when sifting through all those ads, probably coming in the newspaper or online. And one is definitely read that fine print. So read at the bottom what it's saying. In particular, if you're talking about, say, a tablet or electronics, are they having a discount on the current model of that tablet, or is it an older version of that tablet? So you could go and want, like, the latest, you know, 2019 version, and how it's advertised, it looks like that. However, it could be an older model of that same product you were hoping you could get for a discounted price. And then also, whenever you're talking about, 80% off the whole store over Memorial Day, what is that price off of? So is that retailer, you know, offering a discounted price on the actual price, or is it a marked up price that you actually end up paying the normal price once their so-called discount is applied? So if you are going after a high ticket item, definitely price it around town at a couple other shops or stores or even online and see if what they are claiming to mark it down from is the actual retail price and not a marked up price too. Two things that are sometimes advertised that really aren't true are the limited time offers and lowest price, you know, ever. Those aren't always the only times you can get these deals. So retailers like to hook you and tell you have to come in this coming weekend. It's going to be our hugest sale of the year. And when in fact, later on in the year, those other holidays, President's Day, they will also have, you know, similar deals that they have now.
So, Luke, I guess my question is, I've never been aware of this being something to look for. Are you talking about things that would come in the mail? Are you talking about what you would read, I guess, with handouts or things like that? Where would we see this? Because obviously you're not going to see it with commercials on TV or something, but where would someone come across a fake ad like what you're talking about?
Well, even on TV, too, I mean, you have to be careful what you're watching. Sometimes I'll use, for example, a car commercial. If it's a car lot, advertising a super low price for a lease, like $100, $0 down, $100 a month lease, a brand new, you know, XYZ, and what consumers don't know is that that price isn't offered to everyone. Sometimes that price is only offered to people who have a great credit score or people who qualify, and the consumers don't always know that. And it's kind of why BBB was originally established years ago, was because all of these companies were advertising advertising prices or products that weren't actually offered to people. The product was not legitimate. So it kind of stems back to why BBB was created. And BBB actually has a branch called AdTruth, since we still see some, you know, issues in current advertising practices, and especially over holidays like this coming weekend. I know I bought a car last year over Memorial Day. It's a big furniture sale weekend. So we always like to kind of get that word out to consumers about what they should look for in ads, so that you're not surprised when you get to the store and you're either not able to pay that price since you don't qualify, or if you didn't read that fine print.
Luke, can you give us any examples of this?
Like in particular how I was talking about the cars, maybe?
Oh, sure.
Or, I was talking about how prices for cars through television ads, or even, you know, ads you see online too, the price might not be offered to every person who comes in. And then also it's great to talk about, you know, guarantees and warranties. Some people will buy a high price ticket item, and if that word guarantee or warranty is in there, you know, people feel better. However, if you don't read the fine print, you might not be as happy as you think. So a guarantee is usually you should have that product for your lifetime, and it is guaranteed. You should be able to return it for 100% refund if there is an issue. And a warranty is more of a limited time, warranty on the actual product, and it could be certain parts of the product, maybe not wear and tear, but other things as well.
We're going to go right back now to Luke Frey, who's with the Better Business Bureau. And Luke, we were talking about ads and being careful of some of the language that is used for Memorial Day ads. And we will have your whole segment up on our podcast after the show is over at 10 o'clock. I wanted to switch gears, though, and talk about a couple of other scams that could be affecting people right now. One of which you and I very briefly talked about it yesterday, but you were saying brides. Of course, we're going into wedding season right now, and you were saying brides sometimes have to be careful of, is it dresses and dress shopping? What are you talking about?
Yeah, so it's that time of year. I guess school's almost over, so it also kind of goes towards prom gowns too. So there are a couple tips when it comes to, you know, buying that wedding dress brides might not be aware of. And one is really having that budget set on what you can spend. Some people have a budget. We watch those TV shows on TV, and you know, you could have a budget of, you know, $200 to $10,000. And the one thing you really have to keep in mind is alterations. So if you have that max, you know, $1,000 that you can spend, you shouldn't buy a dress that is that price. So you always have to factor in the cost of alterations, and usually they can be, kind of on the high side, depending on how much needs done. And you always have to check that dress shop's policies too. So what are their policies as far as if you order it in and then you end up wanting to change your mind? Or how much are their alterations versus other shops in your town? Sometimes if you have it altered by a seamstress, not through that same dress shop, it could be kind of cheaper, whereas other dress shops may require you to have it altered there. So a lot of things to keep in mind when, you know, brides are trying to shop. You should be shopping about 6 to 8 months, I would say probably a year ahead of time, just so that you can have everything done. I mean, it is a product, you know, you need for one day out of your entire lifetime. So it needs to be done on time, and you shouldn't have any issues. with that either.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that I've been waiting to talk to you about, because we experienced it in our house, this is also a season where people are cleaning out. It's spring cleaning, and a lot of times you may have items that you want to put on either Craigslist or maybe, in our case, Let Go, the app that is, you see commercials about it all the time. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we tried to sell a piece of furniture in our house, and we were offered the amount we asked for a half hour later, and it turns out we got scammed out of almost $1,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. My husband and I are kicking ourselves over it because we don't understand how it even happened. And you and I, again, talked about this briefly, but bank checks, our understanding was they sent us a check. We put it in the bank, and still that money got taken from us. So how does that work, and what should people be aware of?
Yeah, so it sounds like you're probably talking about a fake check scam. So all checks can be counterfeit checks, even bank checks. So I'm assuming that their bank check was, you know, not real, and ended up bouncing out of your account. And what happens is, if you try to deposit a check and it either bounces or it's not real, your bank is still holding you accountable to having those funds in your account. So unfortunately, what probably happened in your case is your bank charged you, you know, $900, if that's how much your check was, to have that in your account, since that check ended up bouncing. In terms of these apps and, you know, posting things on Facebook Marketplace and Tag Sale and, you know, using these apps to sell products, it's probably always best to always do cash. If you have a person coming to take away that item, you should have cash. Again, unfortunately, in your situation, they used a check. It was a bank check, so it probably gave you that added, you know, security and peace of mind, knowing it wouldn't bounce. However, I would say, you know, if you are using these apps or community forums to sell products, I would require cash upon the person picking up that item from you.
Tony and Melissa in the morning on WICC 600, sponsored by Selco Heating and Air Conditioning.
All right, good morning. We're at 7:38. It's Tony and Melissa in the morning. With us here on the telephone line is Rainey Knorr, and she's with Fairfield Cares, and she's going to tell us a little bit about the Sober Concert that's coming up on Memorial Day. Rainey, it's a pleasure to have you here this morning. How are you?
Well, likewise, Tony and Melissa. Thanks for having me on this morning. Yes, I'd like to tell you about Summerfest 2019 in Connecticut, which is really put on by Fairfield Cares for all town teens to have something to do on a day where the next day is no school and everybody's going to be busy finding something to do. And Fairfield Cares' mission is to make teens help teens make healthy choices. So we were established in 29 as a townwide organization of parents, school reps, local business leaders, law enforcement, clergy, everybody who is really dedicated to prevent underage drinking and substance abuse. But we always say, no, 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 don't do this, don't do this. It's dangerous here, it's dangerous there. But with the concert, we want to show how fun it can be to have a great time without being under the influence. And we have musicians that are themselves in recovery, that are fabulous entertainers, and one, B. Rain, actually performed with Macklemore last year at Recovery Fest in Rhode Island. So we know we have a fantastic lineup with DJ music, we have food, we have people there to talk to if somebody has a friend who's struggling, or you know, somebody struggling themselves. But just having a great time, and oftentimes as parents, we don't show enough how to have fun without alcohol present, because every time there is an event, there's always alcohol. So things and you know, things like that make teens think that in order to have fun, you have to have alcohol present, and we want to show them you don't.
Right. So, Rainey, we have heard in the past that this is something that actually, I think, started, you said, in Rhode Island, but we've never actually seen a sober concert here in Fairfield. So very cool to have it in our listening area and a great concept behind this. But I have to ask, only because you just said it yourself, when you hear about concerts and people going in and having a great time, you kind of expect people to get wasted, and to you just sort of expect it in these kinds of of situations. So how do you guys plan to make sure that people are showing up and, in fact, they aren't drunk, they're not intoxicated, they haven't brought any beer or alcohol with them? How are you going to make sure that that happens?
Well, that's a very good question. And, you know, this is a first time for us as well. But we have great partners in the Fairfield Police Department. We also have great partners in the Recovery Department and what's kind of says department, but community. But what's really fantastic there is if you're in the recovery community, you know when somebody tries to sneak something in or tries to move something by you. And obviously we have the police there. We have people there making sure that everything is safe and fun. Most of all fun, but definitely safe. So that we'll all have a great time, and there'll be a second time that we can have this kind of concert happening. And hopefully, my big hope is that it's going to be picked up by Live Nations in Bridgeport when we have the new outdoor concert venue there, that it's not going to be a small little concert at Central Pavilion, but that it's a celebration of sober concert fun and togetherness, you know, by thousands of people over in there, whatever it's going to be called in the arena there.
Speaking with Rainey Knorr from Fairfield Cares, the Sober Concert happening this Memorial Day weekend. Rainey, in our area, is underage drinking a big, big problem?
Well, it's still the drug of choice. We in Fairfield Cares and other coalitions in the area make perform surveys periodically to see, you know, get a finger on the pulse. And alcohol is still the number one drug. And believe it or not, 50% of teens who do drink get it from their friends and family. So it's also a very condoned activity as, oh, yeah, kids will be kids, even though we do know that the longer teens wait with starting using any kind of substance, the less their chances will be to develop a lifelong issue. If you start drinking at 15, you have a 40% chance of developing a lifelong issue with alcohol. If you start drinking at 18, it's down to 20. If you start drinking at 21, it's down to 7%. These odds are pretty good. And so I feel, why are we gambling with our kids' lives? Why do we think that, drinking is just a rite of passage? It really has to start with us parents modeling behavior that we can have a great time without always having to have alcohol around.
And curbing that horrible, you know, that those bad behaviors for sure. Some really shocking statistics you just shared with us, Rainey Knorr with Fairfield Cares. And before I let you go, give us just really quick the details. If people are interested, where can they go to find out a little bit more about the Sober Concert? Is there still availability for them to go and show up?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked, Melissa. Yes. So easiest is to go to summerfest2019ct.eventbrite.com. That gets you straight to the ticket site. But otherwise, go to @FairfieldCares on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. You get information there. Or go to our website on fairfieldct.org/FairfieldCares.
Rainey, thank you so much for taking the time. Good luck with the concert. I hope it's a huge success for you.
Thanks, guys. I hope so, too. Send lots of kids my way.
Okay, we certainly will try. Thank you so much. I don't know if you saw it last night, but ABC staged its live performance of episodes of All in the Family
what
and the Jefferson.
What did you think of that?
I have not seen it. I DVR'd it. I have not seen it. But online reviews have been relatively positive so far. The event was hosted by Jimmy Kimmel and Norman Lear, the guy who created all of this. They say that one highlight was 87-year-old Marla Gibbs returning to reprise her role as Florence the Maid on the Jeffersons. Now, at first they were promoting that Justina Machado was going to be playing that part, but she was not in the cast, and Marla Gibbs just showed up. She's a very funny lady. Jamie Foxx was the only actor from either show to mess up. He played George Jefferson. His flub actually came along during All in the Family portion of the show, and the rest of the cast had a hard time keeping a straight face. He immediately called himself out and said, quote, it's live. Everyone's sitting at home thinking that their TV just messed up. I hope this works. I want to play this for you, but I don't know if it's going to work. But this is Woody Harrelson and Marissa Tomei doing their best Archie Bunker and Edith Bunker impersonation.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew who you were then.
Girls were girls and men were men.
Mr. we could use a man like Hoyman over again.
Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight. G.R.O. LaSalle ran great. Those were.
All right. I was going to say, so Tony, from the Academy of Tony Reno, and your opinion definitely matters, how would you rate that performance?
Judging from that, it was pretty good. You know, I mean, Marissa Tomei is not a singer, but I mean, it was good. It's supposed to be off. It's supposed to be ridiculous.
But did it feel like they were they tryhards, or did you feel that they were really nailing it?
I think he really nailed it, to be honest with you.
I tell you, Woody Harrelson, what a guy. No, I knew it.
He's the guy. And then Jennifer Hudson sang the Jefferson theme live, which was pretty tight.
I love her.
So let's give this one a listen. I hope this works.
All right, let's give it a shot. No. Come on, Jennifer Hudson.
Sorry, can't play the video at this time. Sorry
that's so
about
sad.
That. But I'm going to have to check that out this afternoon when I go home because I was a big fan of both shows, and I was a big fan of most of the cast that was there last night. I love their work. Woody Harrelson, Marissa Tomei, Jamie Foxx, all very talented people. So
so when are you going to watch it so I know not to text you during that time?
probably around 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay, fine. So,
all right.
So I'll stop texting you at 3:55.
Okay, sounds
no
good.
No problem.
Here's something that happened, I guess, the other night in Naugatuck. Police said a thief stole a car in Naugatuck while the owner was pumping gas. Now, the incident was captured on video. A man in a yellow shirt was filling up his Audi when a thief jumped into the driver's seat and took off. It happened Tuesday at the Cumberland Farms on North Main Street. Police think a newer model white Lexus was also involved in the incident. I bring this up for one reason. You know, it's no secret. I've been doing this show here about 12 or 13 years, and I have told you repeatedly, Tony Reno is paranoid, he's neurotic, and he's nuts about a lot of things.
He's a beautiful man.
Well, thank you very, very much. but the one thing that I always do, I just want to pass this along to everybody. When you're filling up your car, you can't leave your keys in the car. You can't leave it running. I always shut the car off. I always put the keys in my pocket. Most times I even lock the car while I'm pumping the gas. And that's only because of incidents like this. I mean, I do this every time. And believe me, I fill up at least twice a week.
Sure, with the commute and everything like that, you're going to fill up a lot. I think this is a fear that my mom had because she told us as kids that if you didn't take the keys out of your car, the ignition, she told us that the gas, it's going to keep filling and filling and it's going to end up spending more money, which is obviously not true. Of course, it's not true. But when we were kids, we always thought in our minds, oh my gosh, it's just going to keep filling and we're going to run out of money and that's just going to be horrible because, you know, we're only working and making $10 an hour. So we would always take our keys out. We never left the windows open. My mom always had these different things that she would tell us. And of course, we believed them long enough that now it's a habit. I can't even imagine leaving not only the car running, but Tony, I have panic attacks. I think this is why you and I work together. I have panic attacks when I see moms leave their babies in the car and they have the car running and they're filling up and they just, they're like over there filling up. They're talking to people. I think the same thing. What if someone just grabs your car and leaves and your child is in the car? I honestly have panic attacks.
Now, you know what I've done in instances like that? I see the mom or the dad leave the child in the car to go pay or to do whatever they're doing. And I say the same thing. I will find things to do. Like I'm cleaning out my car, but I'm watching the baby. I'm wiping the windshield down, but I'm watching the baby. Just waiting until
someone takes it.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that a couple of times.
Yeah, exactly this scenario, I've had nightmares about it. There's only certain scenarios in the world that I have scenarios about way too often since I was probably 5 years old. This is one of them. Mm-hmm. I am terrified of someone just hijacking my car and leaving. So exactly what you said, Tony, taking the keys out, anything like that, whatever you could do to make sure that it would be a struggle for someone to take your car, do it.
Exactly, because if they feel that it's going to be hard, if they feel that, hey, I'm going to be here more than than 10 seconds, they're going to move on.
Exactly.
You know, they're going to move on. And you're just making it easier for them. If you're out there pumping the gas, you're not really paying attention.
Right.
And you leave the keys in the car or leave it running.
Right.
Worse yet, which you're not supposed to do anything anyway when you're filling up. You're not supposed to leave it on.
Right. I'm pretty sure. Don't we have a law in Connecticut that you're not supposed to leave your car on? Of course, I'm blanking.
I don't think there's a law. I never heard of a law, but every filling station, as I sound like Goober from Mayberry, every filling station that I ever went to, they do have a sign. You know, please shut off the car, or, you know, make sure car is off while
idle.
You're pumping.
That's the word I'm thinking of.
Okay.
You're not supposed to leave your car idle for, I guess it's more than 10 minutes. You can't leave it idle, so that wouldn't count. But yeah, I think it's probably safer to just not have your car running, especially if you're trying to pump gas, things like that. And obviously, it makes sense to make sure nobody hijacks your car.
Yeah, very
terrifying.
So when you're pumping your gas, filling up, shut the car off, take the keys. Matter of safety here, folks. That's all that it is.